The Online Grade 2 Conference, Lecture 1, The Second Grader. Second grade is something like an orphan in the Waldorf grade school curriculum, wedged in between two very important, very significant grades. Grade 1, of course, the very threshold of the grade school. Grade 3, where suddenly the tumultuous and game-changing qualities of the nine-year change appear. Grade 2 almost seems, if one looks at Steiner's indications and looks at the way it's often treated in conferences, almost of a bit of an afterthought. And of course, I say that only in the most general way. It wasn't that many years ago when there was no such thing as a grade 2 conference. It was always a grade 1 and 2 conference. And grade 2 was often given fairly short shrift. Understandably, you're beginning with grade 1. Grade 1 has so much in it of the whole nature of the grade school child, the beginning of the relationship with the class teacher, the beginning of the main lesson book and crayon drawing, and all of these things. We might get to grade 2 Thursday afternoon if the grade 2 teachers were lucky. If there weren't too many of them at the conference to begin with, then we'd wait till Friday afternoon sometimes, right at the end. So this conference is an attempt to counterbalance that sort of tendency and to show that, yes, there is some truth to the transitional quality of grade 2. It does stand between two very great moments in the child's life, the first great seven-year change, the first great nine-year change, which set the tone not only for what's going to happen in the next few grades, but for the whole of a person's life, how a child lives through the change of teeth and the many, many differentiations going on in grade 7, how a child meets that strong flow from the future, the astrality suddenly rearing its head and coming to meet them. These are all very big issues. And grade 2 does not really have inherently such an issue, such a major life changer. On the other hand, it still carries the momentum of what happened in grade 1. And certainly in the last months of grade 2, and increasingly so in the 21st century, we can feel the shock waves already coming of the nine-year change towards the second grader. So it has within it a little bit of everything, and that makes it that much more difficult to try to find the quintessence, to really distill that which is inherent and unique to grade 2. And this conference will make efforts in that direction, though I think this is still something that's kind of a good research topic for us in the Waldorf movement, and one would hope that second grade teachers would really be able to do this. But I do want to share one very important aspect of this, and this is something that I bring up in all of the online conferences, and I don't know if it's mentioned in other places. Maybe by now it is. From my own research, I have become convinced that there are significant differences between odd grades and even grades. Now, one might argue, yeah, but there are, you know, plenty of children who don't turn 8 until the end of second grade, or we have some 9-year-olds in second grade. It's not just the children's age, it's not just the individual children who all have their individual paths of development. We'll talk about that as well. This is not an effort to be stereotypical, but rather to say that no matter what the child's age, assuming they're generally within the parameters of the grade's age group, there are still differences between being in an odd grade and an even grade. And the example I like to give, you can skip this if you've already heard it, is when I taught for many years at Green Meadow Waldorf School, very established, very large school with over 400 students some years. We could never fit the entire school in our auditorium for the Shepherd's Play. So we always had two performances. And the way we did it so that it didn't just become a kind of age division of, you know, grades 1 through 6 and grades 7 through 12, rather all of the odd grades came in the morning one day and the even grades came the next day, whatever it was, something like that. So you had an odd grade audience and an even grade audience. And this is very unusual. Most schools don't have to do this, or they divide things up differently. This was a kind of grand experimental space. And I was in, oh, I would guess about 15 Shepherd's Plays myself on the stage, and also, of course, present at many of them. And I can tell you again and again, we had the same experience. You would think we were performing a completely different play on each day because the children in the odd grades, 1, 3, 5, 7, all the way up to 9 and 11, there was not a whole lot of applause. Even at the end, the kind of raucous applause and feet stamping that the children often engaged in was kind of muted when the odd classes were there. And even the most slapstick-filled scenes with the shepherds elicited laughter, polite laughter sometimes, but maybe one or two outliers, usually teachers, would be, you know, laughing uproariously. But no, rather even grades the next day. And not just because we got better at it, because sometimes we let the even grades come first as well. We tried it in all kinds of ways, always worked out the same way. The even grades, first of all, you had to wait much longer before they all calmed down, sitting in the hall in the darkness, because we were in a regular auditorium. And then when you began from that moment, laughter and whispers and, you know, teachers walking up and down the aisles, quiet, quiet. And of course, the scenes with the shepherds were just an uproar. And the applause at the end just went on for hours, or would have had we let the children stay. The only things that didn't seem to be interesting the audience were the birth of the Jesus child or the sorrow of Joseph and Mary at not being able to find an inn. That seemed to leave everybody flat. Incredible. So, as the Chinese say, the even numbers are the numbers of the earth, the odd numbers are the numbers of heaven. You're even going to see this in our form drawing instructional video as we try to do an odd numbered geometrical construction in a circle. Odd numbers don't quite come to earth, and even numbers are completely at home, but they don't always ascend to heaven. Another way of putting it more psychologically is that the odd years, the odd grades, are more introspective, and the even grades are more outward-directed, more extroverted. And what the children are learning in the odd grades, they're taking in. They may not always be able to articulate things, you know, just sort of presented off the top of their head. It's going much more deeply, much more metabolically, we might say, whereas in the even grades, there's a great skill at bringing things into outer form, showing things in a very dramatic way. So very often then, the second, fourth, sixth, and eighth grade plays, it's often good to do plays with a lot of will, a lot of action, and where people can use loud voices, even in second grade, whereas the odd-numbered grades, you want to do plays that are perhaps a little more philosophical, more dialogue, more lyricism, in which perhaps even quieter children, shyer children, can play a larger role. So just to keep this in mind, we'll come back to it, because often we will have a chance to compare your experiences in grade one with your experiences in grade two. And because grade two is the first of the even-numbered grades, and interestingly, of course, I didn't mention this, but ideally, Steiner's picture was that children would be age 7 in grade 1. They would be 8 in grade 2 and so on, so that the children's age would also be an even number or an odd number in each grade. So once again, we'll be talking about the 8-year-old, even though we know, particularly in Waldorf public schools, that there's a very great age range and children are generally younger than Steiner would have wished. Which creates challenges in the Waldorf curriculum and sometimes means we can't go perhaps as fast as we would like. But something else about this first even grade and Rudolf Steiner's recognition of the fact that we're beginning something very new here, something different from grade one, is to compare it with grade one. In grade one, we're in the world of the fairy tale. Whether we create our own nature stories, pedagogical stories, therapeutic stories, whether we are drawing on stories from the German world of the Brothers Grimm, or Africa, or Asia, or North America, whatever, we're looking for stories that are fairy tale in nature. And that's not always easy to define, but you certainly know it when you see it. And by the same token, in grade two, we are working with two distinctly different kinds of stories. And this is unusual to have this separation that the children are at times listening to stories of I don't want to use the S word here because it's gotten to be so such a buzzword and so unclear and uncertain. Believe me, we'll go into detail about this, but I'll say it now. Stories of saints, stories of good people, stories of holy people, stories of people who did well. Anyway, you get the idea. They're stories in which we could say an ideal is made manifest. In independent schools, one can be free to make it a religious ideal or ideals of different religions. In public schools, it's not so easy, but nonetheless, people find ways to work with that. Here's someone who historically believed in God historically. You know, you can change it in all of those ways, but whatever you do, there's a certain kind of mood. There's a certain quality in the stories that you are telling. On the other hand, the children are also listening to fables. And fables, again, can come from all over the world. It's amazing how much they have in common, like the fairy tales in grade one. It's as though there are a few basic stories with embellishments found worldwide. And these fables, then, are stories about usually animals, not even human beings, We're talking about an entirely different kind of consciousness. But they're animals who talk. They're animals who are shrewd or who are innocent, animals who are good, animals who are bad. So we're bringing in moral qualities, but it's not very much connected to a world of ideals, historical, religious, or ethical, moral. Now we're talking about, in a certain way, the way things really are. And the animals are helping us look at the world of humans, and that in turn helps us reflect on ourselves. But notice, very true to the nature of second grade, we're reflecting on ourselves from outside because the animals are out there. We're looking at them, and something is coming back to us. So, of course, we'll be looking in detail at the nature of the stories, but I just want to point out here the last point I want to make about grade two, duality, polarity. We move from that wonderful sense of unity in grade one to a sense of division, of separation, of qualities that are in opposition to one another, and hopefully we can move in this grade to that place that William Blake described so beautifully when he said, opposition is true friendship. So we'll go on now and look a little bit more at the nature of the second grader.